You might like to turn in your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 1, if you would, as we open our prayer meeting. And we share together as we have spent time considering God's person and his attributes and his makeup. And we have done that. So now, and reminding ourselves that we're always in the presence of God, as we always do, and remind ourselves that God, when you say G-O-D, you want to be conscious as much as you can, more and more, of who you're talking to. You're talking to God who is omnipresent, unchangeable, holy, righteous, just, merciful, and infinite in his being. And we shared all those different words. So when we think of God, we think of him who is all capable, all knowing, all wise, all powerful, able to do whatever. And so here we are, and we've taken a moment to look at Jeremiah in the light of the fact of the day in which we live. And Jeremiah lived in the Israel in Jerusalem. And Jeremiah was very conscious of a changing, difficult time in the world. And he had to see it from and work it out from a being, if you would, using our term, in the church. He'd have to be trying to work it out in the church. With all the church problems, he had to work it out with all the problems with Israel. And Daniel, on the other hand, and Ezekiel are on the other side, and they're in the world. They're in Babylon, and they're working out the same world, global conditions, only they're working it out from the Babylonian or the worldly sense. So between the three of them, you're getting a window on how do we capitalize, how did they succeed in the day that they lived in, and in the light of God, in the light of his character, and here we are in the presence of God, and as we read and think, looking to God, reminding ourselves that what you're reading and what you're going to look at, God was there and God is involved in all that you're going to look at and read. So you're talking, you're in the presence of the one who did all of that. So whatever we're going to read, God was right there and then doing all of it. And we're in his presence. So we're always keeping that in mind so that the Bible, the Word of God, is very fresh to us because of God's presence. Because God was there at the Red Sea, etc., etc. Now, having said that, in Jeremiah chapter 1, just to remind you, as we went through it a little bit last time, in the light of it, Jeremiah lived in the day when Josiah was king, and Josiah was king in Judah. The 10 tribes in the north have gone into captivity, and Josiah is king. He's only 8 years old when he starts, and he becomes 21 years old when Jeremiah steps into the picture. So you have a young king, inexperienced king, wanting to do the right thing. In the light of the fact that you have 57 years between Manasseh and Amon of kings doing all wrong. So you got 57 years of history that's all in the wrong direction. And here comes a young king along named Josiah, and he is trying to go and do the right things. He has a Passover and all of these things he tries to do. Now, and we share together, here we are in our country where we've advanced, and we're hoping that somehow things could get a little better, get straightened out in some ways, and be a little better all around from a human practical standpoint. But, and as for Jeremiah, that's what he hoped for, that Josiah would have that. But he didn't do that. And God told Josiah, he told them, God would honor all that Josiah would try to do that was right. But the people did not want that. And God told them that Josiah, I'm going to bless you, but it's all going downhill and it isn't going to change. Judgment is at the doorstep coming, and nothing's going to change that. So here we are going down the corridor of time, looking for God to outwork things, and we hoping somehow they could get better or different, maybe. But what do we know? Biblically, it isn't going to get better. That's what we know. So we're going to have it get better, but not better. Not going to get better. So here we are, so we want to learn. How did you guys handle it? And so here in Jeremiah, you remember, we looked. And remember Jeremiah. Jeremiah is living in the days of Ezekiel and Daniel. So you got three major prophets all going at once. And so that's a dynamic trio, to say the least, among other things. So now, here we are looking, and the days were very dark. They were getting darker and darker, and they're going to get darker after Josiah. They aren't going to get any better. And therefore, you want to understand, how do I handle the darkness and the darkening of the clouds, the storm clouds? How do I handle it, and what am I supposed to do? So now, remember that God pointed out to Jeremiah, he pointed to his word. He said there was no changing what's going to happen. Babylon is going, Nebuchadnezzar is going to come down from the north, and he's going to judge. He's going to come down three times into the north, and each time, and finally in 586, he's going to destroy the city completely. So coming down, and you've got all of, and God is outworking what he is, and Jeremiah is on the table for an assignment to go be God's tool and vessel in it. And Jeremiah is told, and what's going to happen, and he's going to tell the nation what's going to happen, and the outworking of God's saving solution. God's saving solution. The outworking of that solution cannot be changed. Cannot be changed. God has a solution to solve all of the dilemmas of the world. And you can't change those solutions. You can vary them. You'll see them varied. But God has a program and a plan. The devil has a program and a plan that is subject to God's. And all of that has to work out. So now, having said that little bit, and Jeremiah is proceeding down the corridor of time, and he is told, as a young man, remember he said, I'm a child, etc., and all of that. And in the process of that, he is to watch, stand fast in the faith. That's what his assignment was, to be full of valor. In order to be successful with God, you have to go with God. In order to be successful, you have to go with God's plan. What is God after? And you may not understand it all, but you're going to trust God. And so God is need to be full of valor, strong and of good courage, as all through history. There's only one way to make it, be strong and of good courage, or you're not going to make it, because the opposition. And Jeremiah is going to live a whole life at war. That's what he's going to do. His whole ministry is going to be at war. He's never going to know peace in the sense of worldly peace. And so here's the outworking of it. And they need to be, Jeremiah needed to be believing, Daniel, Ezekiel, and we. And Israel needed to be believing God, looking to God, to be courageous. And to see the outworking of God, trusting God in the most wonderful way. And remember now, remember to be strong, courageous, etc. And Jeremiah, God took him as a young man. And God never promised him success. He promised him he would honor himself. God would honor himself in the life of Jeremiah. And Moses, going back to Moses, Moses was going to help God, remember? He wasn't ready to help God at all. And God sent him into the wilderness for 40 years. And after 40 years, God humbled him at age 80, remember? And in the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, God helped him. And in the process, Moses would say, trained to be in the place of Pharaoh if needed. He would say, I can't speak. I don't know how to speak. I'm not able to do anything. That isn't the Moses of 40 years ago. That's the Moses of 80 years. Because he woke up to the fact that how could I possibly... He was humbled. And God humbled him in a most wonderful way. And the same with Mary, using her as another example in a different way. Mary didn't have to wait 40 years. She was a young girl, young teenager, etc. And Mary said, God said, whatever I say to you, is if I give my word, whatever I give in my word, it is possible. If I give my word, it must happen. And she said, be it unto me according to your word. And she was going to trust God. In spite of everything, in spite of all of the horrendous reactions she was going to get, and she had to get it, she trusted God. And so here's Moses, trusted, was humbled, and here's a young girl that she didn't have to go through 40 years. She just listened to God and believed him. That's all. She gave God credit for who he was and what he said. And thus, so the Jeremiah is a possessor and a bearer of news. And the news to Israel is bad news. And Israel doesn't want to hear Jeremiah. They're going to kill him. In fact, they're going to do everything they can to imprison him, to kill him, to get him out of the way. He just isn't good news. Up to God, he represents God's good news and God's mercy and grace. And in the 10 tribes in the north, God was merciful to them, and he scattered them by way of the Assyrian captivity. God could have eliminated them and started again, like with Moses. He didn't do that. And now, with Jeremiah, God is going to allow Babylon to come in his mercy and grace, and scatter them. That's his grace. Otherwise, all gone. So God's doing what he's doing in a wonderful way to outwork his grand program in with all of his mercy and all of his grace. And therefore, Israel was taken captive by its conquerors. And so in the process now, in the light of that, over Jeremiah chapter 1, and just reminding ourselves again, Jeremiah chapter 1. And Jeremiah, remember, was encouraged to honor God. And in verse 17, just to refresh your memory and mine, thou therefore gird up thy loins. That means the word gird, to put your belt on, your robe, get it tight. Get ready. Be prepared. Be strong. Get yourself ready. Don't have a loose robe. Loose, you aren't ready. You're just relaxing. Tight robe, you're ready to go to war. And gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed. Don't be overthrown. Don't be alarmed. Don't be put to shame. Do not be ashamed at their faces. Remember, they're going to go after them. All over the place, lest the reason I confound, the word confound is the same as the word dismayed, lest I confound you, and you'll be alarmed. Instead of them being all upset about things, you're going to be the one that's put on the block. The same as God said with Ezekiel. Over, and you may want to turn there just for a moment, because it was a sober, wonderful thing God was doing, but it was very serious. And in Ezekiel chapter 3, And picking up that, which gives us the mood a bit, chapter 3, and in verse 16, 3 and 16. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman, unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. He's to be God's spokesman. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, thou shalt give him, and thou givest him not, N-O-T, warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. It doesn't do it. He's going to pay for his wickedness. But his blood, the end of verse 18, will I require at thy hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. In other words, I gave you an assignment. The highest, from the highest source, myself, God said. Now I expect you to fulfill the assignment. I said it. I expect you to do it. And is it, could we do it like we do everything? We do a little of this and we'll honor this one and maybe we'll do it, maybe we won't. No, God said, when I put this on top of you and I'm going to be there to make it possible for that to happen, I'm going to enable you to do it. Just like I'm going to enable Jeremiah chapter 1, if you would. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 18. I'm going to enable him. So when I'm there, there is no excuse, and I hold you accountable. So why can't, that's why, whether 2 Timothy 4, we're to preach the word what? Whether it's welcomed or unwelcomed. So we don't have a choice. Well, we don't want to say that, and we don't want to say it. We don't have a choice. If you're going to represent me, you've got to let me say what I want to say. Otherwise, we're in two different wavelengths, two different worlds. And so here, Jeremiah is warned that he needs to do it. And God is right there, though, to encourage his heart that he can do it against all odds, all obstacles, all opponents. He'll win. Now watch. God encourages him. Verse 18 again. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land. Now, what's the odds? Well, you, Jeremiah, are going to be you're going to be opposed by everybody. You're going to be, everyone's against you, Jeremiah. So now, let's read it. Verse 18. The whole land, against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, against the people of the land. The whole thing is against you. All odds, all obstacles, all opponents. There's no way to win. No way to win, is there, Jeremiah? Except I have made you, in the light of that, since everything is besieging you like a city, I have made you a defense city, a well-fortified, impregnable city. City, I've made you like that, so that if the city is unconquerable. So just think of a city that cannot never be conquered. All odds, everything's against it, and you have Jerusalem as a city. And people would like to eliminate Jerusalem from the Jewish standpoint and get rid of it. But you can't do that, because every time Jerusalem has to remain. So when it's all done and the tribulation and they're all going to come and attack the city they're in, they lose. You can't conquer Jerusalem, and you can't conquer Jeremiah. The whole world is against him, but God is for him. Now hang on to that, because here we are. Now, so he made him a defense city. He also made him an iron pillar. An iron pillar. Iron has to do with firmness. Endurance. It has to do with all the storms and all the hard things that can come. And iron in your life. Remember we said it. How much iron is in your life? See, to stand up. How much iron is there inside of you to stand? Iron. How much can you take, you see, before you succumb? So now, having said that, iron, and interestingly enough, so God made him an iron pillar. Now, in order to just get a handle on that, there's all kinds of ways to do it. One way I thought, just different. Over if you would, please, because they're trying to get him. And the world's busy trying to do what it does. Now, over in Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus and 26. And picking up, if I may, remember Israel, when they get out of whack, and they're going to go against God, against the Word of God. And I will set 26, Leviticus, verse 17. I will set my face against you, said God, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. You're going to be so hyper and so afraid. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, after all that I'm telling you and trying to help you, if you still won't listen to me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. And, verse 19, and I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass, so that you can't get up and you can't go down. You can't break through. I'm going to do that. Now, let's reverse it over, if you would, in Deuteronomy chapter 28. In chapter 28, picking up, please, again, the same type of context. And in verse 28, chapter 28, verse 22, and the Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, with an inflammation, with an extreme burning, with a sword, with blasting, with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. Just reverse. Two items, very strong. Brass, copper, zinc, very strong metal it was for the day. An alloy. Wow. You can't. Now, another way that you'll remember it, Behemoth. Behemoth in Isaiah, Job 40. His bones. That's why he's so great. His bones were like iron. Iron bones. What are you going to do against that monster? Iron bones. And to take it a step further so you get a sense of iron, he's going to rule the millennium with what? A rod of iron. A rod of iron. See? I'm going to make you, Jeremiah, like an iron pillar. A fort. An iron pillar. And not only that, over at Jeremiah chapter 1, and in verse 18, and the third item, I'm going to make you brazen walls. And brazen, remember, we just said is copper, zinc, bronze. Now, remember, and by the way, you'll notice, please, in verse 18, walls, it's in the plural, walls. Now, just think, if you were making a siege on a city, and as they have in the past, making a siege on a city, and the walls are very strong brass, and you're going against them, and you go against the wall, and if you think you can penetrate that wall, there's another wall, and another wall, and there's endless walls. You can't get into the city. The walls are all lined up. You couldn't get through if you tried. Jeremiah, you are one protected rascal. If you have to honor me, that's what you have to do. And you know, as we looked at, and as you would over the different times, Jeremiah was well protected and kept by God in a most marvelous way. So now, having said that, keeping that in the forefront of your thinking, would you just go over, to put that into practice, and remember now, walls, plural, and when you put that together, in the millennium, what is God going to do to protect Israel? Not that they need it so much, they don't need it, but there they are, and God is going to surround them with walls, same word, of salvation. God's walls and bullocks, towers, and God's going to be to them a wall. Now, when God's a wall, how do you get through him? Let the peace of God, which passes what? All understanding, mount God in your heart. If you do that, but if I don't have any protection, I'm wide open. That's right. Wide open for problems. Except there's a great God practicing the presence of God. His power, his person, his understanding, his knowledge, his mercy, his plan, his program, his grace, his rightness. Everything he does is right. And you're looking to, you're in the presence of God. And God himself is enough. Do you remember reading, and you do, if you read over in John, 1 John 4, you don't have to turn there, 1 John chapter 4, I think, verse 4. And the devil's there, and the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, and all the different things, and our old nature is there. And what do we know? Well, we know what? Greater is he that what? Than he that is, you see that? Greater is he that is in you. But I didn't have it. No, I'd just be there. Just lay there, and here comes the germs, the disease, it's all there, and God, here you are. Here you are. And you know, be of good cheer. Don't let, in the world, you're going to have what? John 16:33, you're going to have what? Tribulation, pressure, squeezing. Be of good cheer, but I have overcome the world. I already overcame the world. Greater is he that's in you, you overcome. But God, they didn't know that. But God did that for that man, to have that confidence, if he would possess it, if he would hang on to it. God, you will be God. That's right. And what are we looking at? God, be God to us now. And you know, while you're here, go over with me, please, over to Romans chapter 8. And look at that one, if you would, Romans chapter 8, because you know it, but invincible, see, invincible, unconquerable. Therefore, God said, don't surrender to the enemy. Don't surrender to the flesh. Don't do it. You don't have to. Romans 8, you know, 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be what? Who can be against us? And they say, oh, I got... Now, go down. Don't let it ride right down, and you know it. Verse 37, nay, in all these things, you name everything under the sun that you could come up against in your life. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're greater than a conqueror, greater than a Caesar, greater than a Napoleon, greater than Alexander the Great. A wonderful Proverbs 16:32, we have a, he that keepeth his heart and mind is greater than he that keepeth the city. that taketh the city, that captures it. A conqueror in the heart. God, you made Jeremiah. That you have that. We have it so much differently and so much more than Jeremiah ever had. Wow. We're way ahead of you, Jeremiah. And we're living in a world, globally, you looked at Babylon coming down, Nebuchadnezzar. We're looking at the global movement here, way at the coming to the end. And thus, God, we're looking to you to help us. So now, having said that, would you go over, please, in your Bible, over to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 26. The Gospel of Matthew and chapter 26. In the process, Jeremiah is going to go and have to wait. And he's going to have to honor God, look to God, and go through he has to make adjustments. He has to keep making adjustments that things aren't going to be. The king is Josiah is going to disappear. You're going to have three kings there that are all not good guys. And you're going to be there. And Daniel will be gone, and Ezekiel will be gone, and you're going to be left there, Jeremiah. And it's going to be, and don't get discouraged. If it looks like everything is utterly dark, down, and dreary, it is. But it's all right, because the sunshine is looking right down on top of it. And it has to go through the dark, dreary, dull, dangerous period. It has to go through that, Jeremiah. And here we are in our world with all our different things, and we have to live through them. And we aren't going to fix a lot of things. But we don't need to fix them. We need to keep adjusting our heart and mind to go with God, stay with God, believe God, be full of courage, and look to God. Don't back down. Back, go, move very, like fear, F-E-A-R. The same word tells us to run straight into the arms of God. And the same fear can cause us to run away from God. You want to run to God. The quicker you get to God, the better off you are. You get to God quickly. Stay close to God. When the things you don't understand, you don't know how to work them out, and you don't know whatever, you get very, hang on, thank God for his presence. Thank you. And hang on to him. Look to him. Now, Matthew chapter 26. Our Lord now, and dealing with his disciples. And in the process, he gave them a wonderful opportunity to experience what God was doing. Jeremiah is given the wonderful privilege of experiencing the decline and the fall of Jerusalem. And he's giving him the privilege of representing God, God being represented by Jeremiah, in the fall of Jerusalem. A terrible time. Devastating time. But God gave Jeremiah the privilege to hang in there and go through it, and he did. Now, here's our Lord, and he did something wonderful again. God did, and he gave his three disciples, Peter, James, and John, he gave them, not the others, he gave them the privilege of going through something. And you want to be in the mind, have a mindset that you want to have God's very best for your life. And you want to be able to go through whatever it takes to have that. And you have to, not for what someone, everyone's different. But you want what God wants, and you want to be able to go through it. You want all that God wants, and whatever it takes works out. God is there to make it work, so you don't have to worry about it. Now, So here in chapter 26 in the Garden of Gethsemane, you'll remember here in verse 37. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. That's very traumatic. I mean, here's their master, their Lord, their God. And he's telling them, watch, I'm going to be to the point, blessed, I'm going to bleed because of what I have to do. And then I'm going to die on the cross. Verse 38, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. W-A-T-C-H. Keep awake, keep alert, together with me. I'm going to go out there in the garden over there and pray by that rock. You sit here and you stand. You can't be there where I am, but I want you to share this wonderful moment with me that is going to be an awesome moment for you. And thus I want you to watch. Stay awake. Don't go to sleep. It's late. Nighttime. Stay awake. And there's no Dunkin' Donuts to get coffee. All it is there we're at. Now, verse 39, And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. So what are we looking for? Jeremiah is looking for God to outwork his will. What are you looking for? For God to outwork his will. That's what you're looking for. You aren't trying to tell God how to run things. Who, how, when, where. No, you aren't going to do that, because then you're out of sync with God. You aren't lined up. God, our Lord in perfect manhood, said, not my will, but your will be done. And now he tells his disciples that are watching that. Verse 40. And he cometh unto his disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch? There's your verb. Keep awake with me, together with me, 1 hour. Couldn't you do that? Verse 41. Again the word, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it. That's going to the cross and bearing your sin and mine. Thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. God, you're going to keep at it, whether we're with it or not. We may not be with it. We're trying to follow God. And we try to do it for a day or two, but boy, we can't do it anymore. We're all worn out. But God's still doing it. And that's why you're looking to him. When you and I fall down, God's still standing up, moving, as it were. God's accomplishing his good will. And that's what you want to know. When everything seems like it isn't, it is. It is. It sure is. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind in front of you, if you would, over with me, please, to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. So we're looking for God's person. God is always true to his person, his power, his presence. He's all-knowing, all-wise. Right, always right, always loving, always wanting the best, always being merciful. Even in the Assyrian captivity, the Babylonian captivity, God is always there keeping everything, doing everything, even though people don't understand and don't want to. And God says, listen, if I can get someone to stand with me and pay attention, I'll share with them what I'm doing. Not what they're doing, what I'm doing. Because it isn't important what we're doing. It's important what God's doing. Isn't it? What's God doing at work? I don't know what God's doing at work. But I know that God is doing in spite of work. God's doing it now, and we're learning to handle that now. So Revelation, you know, one of the churches, Revelation 2 and 3, chapter 3, church in Sardis. And I'll go, if I can, to verse 1. Unto the angel of the church at Sardis write these things, saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, and the seven spirit and the seven stars, that's our Lord Jesus Christ. And I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful, there's your little word, be watchful, stay awake, keep alert, and strengthen the things which, strengthen, that's right, got to strengthen, strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die. See? And remember now, we can't go back into Acts chapter 2 and all of those Thessalonians and all of that. All of those wonderful activity of God and the marvelous, because they didn't have anything we have. They had no Bible like you do. They had no Old Testament. And they here's the apostles going and they're speaking. And they used the Old Testament scriptures. That's how they got saved. And here they are, wow, wow. And they had to trust God. And there's a wonderful movement of the Spirit of God. But we don't live there anymore. In fact, things that we had 50, 60 years ago, we don't have them anymore. They're all gone. And the things, and it's rapidly moving across the, you know, all the messages, all the epistles always speak over and over again of apostasy. And you're having a movement that is taking away biblical truth, doctrine, understanding of the person of God, enjoyment of the person of God. We had a thing today trying to work it out that people have they don't know how to implement. You talk about worship, you talk about this, but they don't know how to make it work. And the men of the ministry want to know how to make it work. They don't know how to make it work. And the old people don't care how it works because they're set. And there's some new people that are trying to get a handle on it, and no one's telling them how to do it. All they hear is message, but don't know how to do it, how to make it work. What are we working at? We're working at trying to make it work. God help us. Things that are ready to die. And what may happen this week, a year or two from now or less, it won't even be existent anymore. So you grab hold everything you can, while you can, as much as you can, because you know what's happening. It's just sliding away. Now, having said that, over if you would in closing to 1 Thessalonians and in chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. God, here we are, trying to do the thing, and God help us. Jeremiah, you're a great encouragement to us if we take it. And God's encouragement, because he's going to tell Jeremiah, I'm very serious about what I'm doing. And therefore, I want you to trust me like that. Understand me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, but of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Skipping down, verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch, keep awake, stay alert, and be sober. We need to stay awake and alert. Don't sleep. Stay on your toes. Stay on your toes. And, what for? What do you know? You know what's coming. It isn't coming out in a nice, wonderful little world of island of somewhere and everything nice. It isn't going to be that way. Not until Christ comes can there be peace in the world. Now, so God, what did you tell us here? To know the times and seasons and stay awake. Right. Now, what do I need to know? In verse 9, For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to the obtaining of salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're looking for a wonderful movement of God. We aren't going to go through what's coming up, the wrath of God, grace, age of grace replaced with the wrath of God. And the wrath of God is sitting up there overhead, and the reason it isn't falling down, because the grace of God's here. When God removes the grace, the wrath of God comes down. And encouragement, verse 10. who, Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake, wake, here's your word watch, whether we're awake and alert or we're sleeping, we should live together with him. God's going to do what he's going to do in a wonderful way. And God's busy doing it. The more you can stay with it, you could have stayed awake, Peter, James, and John, but you couldn't stay awake, but God's still going to do it. And believers, you can stay awake and stay with it or forget the whole thing and try to rumble and grumble through the system of as it happens. Or you can look to God and understand that God's ever, we're waiting for his any moment coming. In the same breath, we're staying wide awake about it. And by the way, even when we get tired and we have to rest, God said, listen, I'm still there. So when you open your eyes, I'm still there. In fact, while you close your eyes, I'm still there. And I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. See? And you can travel. Jeremiah, you got it. He said, I do. But you got to understand God's wonderful person and presence. And God has to help us. So we don't lose that. So that's our prayer. To practice God's wonderful presence. Of all the different requests and all the different needs all over the world, in your own lives, and then there's God. And we're going to look to God, going to learn of God, going to allow, as we've been looking, to let God love us. Very imperative. You learn to let God love you. That's one of the hardest things to do, one of them. Is to be loved. We don't want to be loved. Because loving brings out the very, wants the very best for your life. And the very best for your life is God. And we don't want that, we don't mind God. But to have him totally dominating our little heart, we don't want that. So that's why we don't have love. And if you don't let God do that, then you get all tied up trying to work everything out. And God said, listen, I'm very good at what I do. You have to trust me. So perhaps you have a particular request as we